Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast, where today we're joined by Scott Allen, a best-selling author and transformational success strategist. With his books translated into 16 languages and over 500,000 copies sold, Scott is dedicated to unlocking human potential through his publications like Fail Big, Relaunch Your Life, and Do the Hard Things First. Having served as a corporate business trainer in Japan and investing over 10,000 hours into confidence development and mindset mastery, Scott brings a wealth of knowledge in personal growth. Join us as he shares his passion for teaching and empowering individuals to take command of their lives through continuous self-improvement. Scott, how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm doing great, thanks. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem, no problem. Yeah, I read about you and I was just like, oh yeah, this guy seems interesting. For you to be a business strategist in Japan, I know you have to be doing something right. Like I seen a podcast a couple of years ago about how Japan has people that work so hard that they end up like dying and passing out because after World War II, Japan had to rebuild and they had to move fast. They had to develop quickly and it's a lot of pressure. You know what I'm saying? So I know they come from a very disciplined, especially like the culture of, I'm also a big fan of history. So I watched some things about the samurai warriors and things like that. And I was just like, wow, he was really out there. And are you American?
No, I'm Canadian, actually.
Canadian. Okay. Yeah. So it's kind of like, because I know that I don't know about Canada, but I know like the way we do business is totally different than other parts of the world in the United States. So it was just interesting seeing that.
Yeah, certainly been a journey for sure. So I've been here about 25 years. I came way back in 98. So it's been a while.
Also, you're still in Japan?
Oh, I'm still in Japan. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Only I transitioned out of the corporate world and now I'm just writing books and working on building the platform. And that's really my main focus these days. But yeah, I certainly had a good 20 years working in a business that would send me out to other companies to train a lot of their business executives for doing business overseas. So they needed to go overseas to blend in with the culture and try to communicate. And so it was my job just to make sure everything flowed smoothly. It didn't always flow smoothly, but that was our intention, was to get them trained up for that. So.
Right. Wow. And how did you get started in that?
Well, it's an interesting story, I think. But back when I was working in Vancouver, so my other background is actually I was an electrical engineer. So I spent a good number of years rolling around in the mud with high voltage power and trying to hook that up to buildings and stuff like that. So after doing that for a while, I thought, yeah, this isn't really, it's not really my thing. So I started to look into doing something else. And I came across an opportunity to move here and I just took it. So there's a little more to that story, but once I started looking for something different just came up and it was a job to work here to get into teaching business English. And I thought, okay, I've never done it before. I have no training. I've never been to Japan, but I'm going to give this a shot. So I ended up getting hired by a company that brings people over every year and just puts them out into the field to go into there, and they give us a few tools, not that many. They give us a few tools to work with, a car and directions to a company. So all right. That was really it. And having not knowing any of the language, I was really just, I'm just one of those people where I'll just, you give me a mission and I'll just take it and run with it. So.
Yeah. That sounds like me when I went to China. I didn't know what was going on. I listened because the letters are different, everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, what is going on out here? Nobody spoke English either. So I'm not sure if it's the same, but I've been in that position before. Wow. So you, yeah, and that's kind of an interesting transition, electrical engineering into business strategy. So did you have a degree in business?
I did not. So give you a little more context on that as well. So when I was, before I came here and I was living in Canada, I spent a lot of my free time reading personal development books, self-help books, and business books as well, because I wanted to scale up my mindset, and my mindset needed a lot of work to get me onto the track that I wanted to be. I had a goal, and at the time I wasn't really sure what my, well, I actually had three goals. So one goal was to become an author, which mm-hmm. eventually manifested itself. The second goal was to travel around the world. So the initial goal wasn't to come to Japan and do that. It was actually just to go to Thailand and hang out there for a while and see what happens. When I was in the electrical engineering trade, I was still pretty young, and I looked around at a lot of the other guys that were a lot older than me, in their 40s and 50s and older, and they didn't look too good, and they didn't look like they had too much money. And I thought, I don't want to really be here in 20 years from now. So that was when I started to think that I'm going to change things around for myself. So one day, picked up Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within, mm-hmm. and when I went through it, I ended up writing down my goals, created a vision board, and that whole level of thinking when I made a decision to do this thing. For example, I was going to go travel the world. Once that decision was made, things started to fall into place. A few months later, I came across an advertisement for a company that was hiring people to bring them over here. So anyway, but yeah, no, to your question, I did not have a business background per se. I just did a lot of reading. So if I had to develop a skill to do a certain thing, I would find out what that skill is. And mm-hmm. to this day, I still probably take that same approach, the same attitude. But yeah, like I said, when I came here, they just gave us a few tools. And then it was just a matter of really, it's kind of like on the job training when you're sent out to a place and you're going here to teach this. And you're like, okay, I've never done that before. And I've never taught something on that before. So you have to learn quickly. And I didn't always succeed, but that's part of the experience. You just either do it or you don't. So, and if you don't do it, they send you back home. And I wasn't going back home. I was actually enjoying myself and new culture, new people. I was actually learning the language and picking it up a lot faster than everyone else. So, there was just a level of, I guess, commitment there that I just really wanted to make it work. And I just love the fact living in a different culture. To your point, not that many people spoke English, so you had to figure stuff out. And you'll figure out one thing is that what it feels like to be illiterate. You can't read anything and can't really speak the language very well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that definitely humbles you, doesn't it? It's, oh, wow, I'm not at the center of the world. There's people that in a place that doesn't understand anything that I'm saying. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm pretty sure you're fluent by now, right?
Fluent enough. Yeah. Pretty good. But there's, it's one of those things where you just never stop learning. Right. So
mm-hmm.
only now I don't have to spend hours a day because I'm just working on my business, and things are a lot different these days. I think with the economy's opened up a lot more here, of course, and the bubble was over a long time ago, but now they've gotten accustomed to people coming over from foreign countries. So when I first got here, it was you didn't see a lot of, I knew a lot of Americans, Canadians, Australians, but I was in a smaller town. So it wasn't unusual to be walking down the street and people would just stop and stare at you, literally just stop in the middle of the street. And they're like, oh, and they'd be pointing and stuff like that. Not in a rude way, but they were just fascinated that, mm-hmm. Someone from another country has come here and, So I made a lot of friends, but I think mostly because and business connections, because I was able to learn the language and just adapt to the culture really, really quickly. Sure, there were a lot of mistakes made along the way, but that's just, you just roll with it. So.
And so what about the Japanese culture did you learn that kind of propelled you to get into business? Because I feel like you probably didn't learn too much while you were in Canada, right? As far as like business and stuff like that.
Not really, no. I mean, I was interested in it, but what I was the trade that I was working in was just you just had to know how to hook stuff up, and that's what I taught us. So I worked a lot in the industry, but it didn't have anything to do with that. But yeah, I think first of all, I had an interest in it, and also when I was put into a situation like that, like I said, if I had to go and teach it, they did give us some like training depending on what it is, because if I had to give a lecture on how to adapt to the American culture when you go to, and sometimes we had it was very specific per state as well, but I did have training on that. But again, reading about something and learning about it and then going into a situation where you're teaching it or can be two very different things. So but I really developed a passion for it, I think. And that actually led into like writing books later on, because I had a lot of, I think at the time I had a lot of knowledge and I always had wanted to write a book. So I took those two, all the passions together, put those together. And I started writing like probably way back in 2008, 2009, when I realized that I didn't really want to be doing that job forever either. So I'm pretty good at looking at the future and saying, hey, I think I'd like to do something different, but I better start now and get momentum going. So by the time I'm ready to make that transition, when the lucky bus comes around, I've got my ticket. So yeah. So but my books are not, I wouldn't say that they're, I mean, they some of them deal with business a little bit. Most of them are like personal development, mental toughness, mindset. I really love that stuff because I think a lot of that was ingrained in my probably from childhood. But I also love the samurai philosophy as well. So I would go to certain temples and Kyoto, and I would learn about samurai warriors. I joined karate again, and I went there diligently for years. And if you want to learn discipline, go into a dojo here and you'll learn it quickly. So but the thing
Right.
is, I just
Yeah.
love that stuff. And I think you have to have a like a certain level, like your mindset really has to be like, is this gonna hurt, but I'm going to enjoy it because I'm going to be stronger after the fact. So
Right. That sounds like like bodybuilding to me. It's like it hurts every time, but then it's gonna progress you to move forward. And one thing that I have learned is that now we're in the age where people want comfort, people want to be cater to. So it's like, what can people do these days to instill the confidence or personal development and the tenacity?
I think that that's a great question. I think one of the things that they can do is to, first of all, for me, I've always had role models or people who are already doing those things. They're out there, but I think you also have to have the desire to want that as well, because not everybody is waking up going, I think I'd like to, go to the gym today and put myself through pain for 2 hours, which to me, I go to the gym a few times a week or four times a week, and there are days when I'm just like, no, I don't really want to go there today, so I'm not going to. But I know that by making that decision, by not suffering, we'll use the word suffering, but by not suffering, I'm going to be suffering in different ways. I'm not going to go to the gym, which means I'm probably going to end up eating junk food or something, or doing something different that's not related to that training. But you get through it enough times, and then that becomes your new drug, I think. But people have to, you have to know what's on the other side, I think. We have to visualize what's on the other side, what that transformation would be, so that you continue to do it again and again and again. And that can be hard for people if they've never really put themselves through, I'm not saying people have to join the military or anything like that, but you want to get really good at something, there's going to be a level and maybe a high level of discomfort that comes with it. And that can be learning something new and then applying it. Or whether you're going into a sport or doing something that, like learning a new skill and then going online and teaching it, or going into a business situation where you've got nothing but a few slides, and you've got like 100 people in the audience, and you're expected to do something that you've never done before. But that's where the magic is. That's where you develop the grit, I think, is by feeling the fear, doing it anyway, doing it scared. So.
Yeah, and I see that often with people that I deal with. It's like fear holds them back from so much, and they think about ways to stop them instead of ways to actually persevere and go through it. And I've been seeing that more and more, and I'm just like, oh God, of course it's going to be tough. It's a whole new thing, but you still have to push yourself to do it if you want the success. And that kind of reminds me of the book I see behind you, Empower Your Success. So, what kind of, I'm not trying to spoil the book or anything like that, but what kind of techniques would you give someone when it comes to them having fear of going through the unknown and jumping through hoops and things like that?
And the thing is a lot of it is a mindset shift or mindset awareness too, because a lot of people's mindset is, I will do this thing when I get more confident, or I've got to get rid of this fear before I try this thing. And it's actually the other way around. When you go into something, let's say you want to try something new, you'll always have that fear will always be there because you're moving into new territory. You're stepping outside of your comfort zone. And really, the only way to get through it is to actually take that first step. So I like to break things down into smaller steps. In that way, the question with it for me is, okay, I want to do this thing, but what's the smallest step that I can take towards doing it? Because you need to get that momentum moving forward, right? And you need to just break that fear a little bit at a time. That's one way to approach it. Some people might dive right into it and just get it over with. But give me an example. Let's just say if you're training for a marathon, and I don't actually run marathons, but I do occasionally enjoy running. But what I find is that the resistance is always strongest at the beginning before I put my shoes on. In fact, most days, if I resist against this, I will not even put my shoes on. So that is the first step, really, for me, is just to walk myself through that process. I'm going to just put my shoes by the door. Now I'm going to put them on. Now I'm just going to step outside, and I'll just mentally walk myself through these steps until I'm actually getting into a short run. And then after I've been jogging for, say, 500 meters or a kilometer, it really starts to hurt. But I want to stop, and your mind is screaming to stop. And then if you keep going just a little more, so again, you have to. It's in the moment, and for me, like in the moment, I need to keep feeding my mind. Okay, my body's telling me I want to quit. My mind's actually saying we are quitting, and I am continuing to fight back against that. In my mind, I'm thinking, let's just go, just 5 more meters, just a little further, and every little like every other step that I take, you actually get to a point where it doesn't hurt anymore, and then you find you can actually go a lot further. And you can apply this to a lot of things, right? So when I was in karate, we used to go to these karate tournaments, and they were pretty tough because I'm not the toughest guy there, and there's like a lot of guys that I had to go up against in the ring. And like no matter what, there was sometimes there was a lot of fear there, because I just saw this guy like just kick someone out of the ring like 10 minutes ago. And so I was like, okay, not sure, I can't back down from this. They just called my number. So, and that's the thing, is like when your number is called and it's time for you to get on stage, just think about this. It's like you can back down, you can say you can quit, but if you do, you're going to revert back to the person you were before. And if your goal is to keep pushing forward so that you can become the greatest version of yourself, get on stage, perform, and you can just take that analogy, like whatever situation you're in, and realize that once you go through it, you are going to be a lot stronger on the other end, win or lose. That's like, because it's not about, you don't have to succeed to win. You just have to show up and put in the effort. And if you fail, great. Let's try it again and try it again and try it again. Keep finding a different way to make it work. So. But a lot of it is the mindset, and like your mind and your body and your it's it we do come up with excuses not to do things, right? I still do it to this day all the time, and I realize you recognize it and you're like, ah, there it is again. But this time the excuses is I'm actually creating those excuses, which means I can destroy them as well. And for me, it's just calling myself out on those excuses and saying, I'm doing this thing. and I may not enjoy it, but that's all right, because on the other end of that is going to be the greatest version of you. And that's kind of like something I'm always pushing towards is, I think that version of, because who knows what's on the other side of the river, so to speak. If you get to the other side of that river, you don't know what you're going to discover. So
Right. Yeah. And I often do things myself. I do Spartan races out here, which is, and so it's pain. Have you heard of the Spartan race?
I have, yes. Never joined one, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I just do that just to challenge my mental toughness. But I often think that everyone should have something where they could challenge their mental toughness just to keep it sharp. And I feel like the mistake that people make is that, like, say they'll do one karate tournament and they'll just say, okay, I did it, I'm done. But if they don't want to push themselves to do more, or they'll say, I did that already 15 years ago, but now you don't look like you could fight or anything at all. So it's like, why did you stop? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And often I hear people say, oh man, like, say I'm into weights, right? Of course, and exercise and fitness. I'm like, oh man, when I was your age, I was able to do. And I'm mm-hmm. like, so? Look at you now. You know what I mean? Like, why'd you stop? You don't even look like you could do anything now. Yeah. So it's just interesting how just like the human mind is. And I feel like people nowadays just need to figure out ways to continuously push themselves. Like, it's a lifelong journey.
That's a great point. Something you mentioned there too is, yeah, I did this thing 15 years ago and I was really great at it and I was in shape. And then to me, like, yesterday was yesterday's news. And I don't remember who it was. I think I was maybe watching a episode with Tom Bilyeu or somebody, but they were saying, like, yesterday's win doesn't mean that it carries over to today. You've got to find today's win. And I think Empower Your Success is actually, there's a chapter in there on that where we get hung up on our wins of the past. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't go back and revel in that a little bit, but we get hooked into thinking that, okay, well, I've had my success, I've had my wins, and then we just kind of fall back into lethargy. And that, you know, we really need to show up every day and with that mental mindset of, I'm going to win today. Yes, had a great day yesterday, I got that contract, or I had that workout, but the workout you had last week is gone and now you need a new one, you need a new game plan. So I'm always trying to live in the moment. And when I'm teaching people about the best way to structure their lives for having a great day, really, is live in the moment. Don't get caught up in the past. You can revel in it for a little bit, but you've got to bring yourself into the moment. And just for me, like, every day, I'll start my day with like a short list of three things that I need to get done for this day in order to have a great day. And a great day for me is, at the end of the day, I can just check off if I got those things done that I intended to do. I showed up for myself. I kept that promise. You do that every day, I mean, all those days are going to add up to something great. I mean, I still don't, go to karate tournaments anymore, but that's just because I've been doing other things that I replaced it with.
Yeah,
but
right.
I noticed, though, that after I stopped doing it, is it really started to eat away at me a little bit. And so one of my intentions is to go back to that, not because I want to go into a bunch of tournaments or win trophies. I actually love the discipline of just walking into a dojo, for example. And you can relate to this to whether you play basketball or you do some other sport. There may come a time when you need to stop the sport if you have some physical injuries.
Right.
But you've got that desire still burning in you to do that thing. What's holding you back? And for me, it's always the fear of, well, what if I'm not as good as I used to be? And chances are you may not be, but you keep practicing every day and you are going to be a lot better than you were today. So,
right. Exactly. That better than I used to be is a big thing too, because people often give up, like, oh, I'm old now, or oh, I'm this, or oh, I'm that. And just a couple of weeks ago, I saw men that were 90 and up racing in the 100-meter dash. And I mean, of course, they were moving slow as hell, but it was like they were still doing the best that they can. And one guy won, and he was happy. And then this guy looks super old. But then I was just thinking about it, like, man, think about what it takes for them to actually, like, get up and practice. Majority of people in the world don't even make it to their age, let alone able to run a 100-meter dash. Like, my family members turned 80, it was over. Like, barely could walk. These people, like, You know what I'm saying? So it was just, it's just an interesting thing just to see the difference in like mindsets when it comes to different individuals and what they're willing to put themselves through and actually do. And I feel like a lot of us sabotage our possibilities and what we could possibly do due to things that happened in the past, or, oh, my mother did this way, and I'm gonna do it this way, and this is just how we do it. And no one is willing to just like change or adapt to something better. You know what I mean? Even it takes, and for you going to Japan 25 years ago, that's even like super commendable, where it was the internet didn't even exist. You know what I mean? Like you were really on your own out there. Like there wasn't no MapQuest on your phone and things like that. It was just like, man, I really have to figure it out. Like now we have Google Translate and we could scan some words and figure out what it is. But man, just going out there back then, whoo, you know, I know that was a crazy challenge, but you overcame it. And I just wish that some people just knew how hard it is to go somewhere and live, and you have no idea what anything says, how people move and act and talk is different. And it's just, man, it takes a lot, you know?
Yeah, no, that's interesting too. Yeah, I remember back then. Yeah, you're right. We the internet was barely a blip, but I do remember carrying around some pretty thick dictionaries because yeah, we didn't have Google Translate or anything, and but that was part of the challenge. And yeah, the other thing too is knowing that for me, I've never had a plan B. Like there was never a back door to it. So if this doesn't work out, I'm just going to go back to Canada and go back to my old job. And some people said, oh, well, if it doesn't work out, you can always fall back on what you were doing before. And I never had a fallback plan. Plan B just didn't exist for me. I'm going to make this work no matter what. And I had issues where, you know, like after my visa ran out for the first year, I had to find another job to get sponsored by another company, and things like that, those challenges as well. But I always knew like I would find a way. And I think that just having, you can apply that to really anything that you want badly enough in life. If you have the mental attitude that there is a way and I'm going to find that way no matter what, is one of my principles, which where I just, that's what I always believe in. So if I yeah, anything like this, anything, if you really want something badly enough, you will find a way to make it work. And you'll also find ways where it doesn't work, and that's just part of the process too, is being okay with things failing and maybe falling apart. And because again, the other only option is to give up and go back to doing what you were doing. And I don't know, to me, that's just not an option at all. So.
Yeah, and those are just lessons to be learned as well. I feel like, especially in today's age where it's like people only showcase their successes online and just to make themselves look better. So it kind of perverts the way people really think about success. Now you're gonna go through stumbles. You have to start with what you got. If you have a podcast, I mean, you're not gonna start off in a beautiful studio that you have to pay thousands of dollars for. Like that doesn't make any sense. Like a lot of people start just by using their phone or where I'm at in my office, things of that nature. And also being willing to deal with the growing pains as well is very important. I definitely see that a lot when it comes to dealing with people and their mental toughness and things of that sort. So I want to talk about fail big, right? So when it comes to failing big, what do you mean by that? Because when I see it, I'm just like, man, you have to take crazy risk and just see what happens. You know what I mean? So how, so what is your perspective of fail big? Say if you were to see it somewhere or see your own book, what would you think?
Yeah. So if I thought that, I thought, oh, that's a book about how to, it's going to teach me how not to fail. Or either that, or it's a book about how to, like you said, yeah, I have to take a lot of risks in order to fail big. Maybe if I'm going to invest in the stock market, there's certainly the opportunity to fail there is huge, and that's not something that not, I don't think any of us really want to buy into that. We don't want to do something with the mindset of I'm going to fail at this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But that's actually what the book is really about, is that it's just going into something with the mindset that you're going to fail at this thing. But that's all right, because those failures is actually, that's information. That's data-rich information that's coming back to you that says, oh, I just figured out something that doesn't work, but what if I tweak this or change something? And now you go from your, let's just say if your fail big range is like this, and gradually you start to get better at this thing, you start failing less and less. And again, if we were to replace failure with something, it's really just learning curve. That's really what it is. You're learning the process. You're learning on the way. And you're not going to, like you said, you're not going to start up a podcast working from a beautiful studio, and it's not going to go all golden. It's not going to be perfect, right? I think that's where people get caught up, is they want to start something, they want to be really good at it from the beginning, and they're hoping that nothing breaks along the way. But the concept of the book is like, you're already starting with nothing. You're going to start with that, and now you're going to build your thing as you go. And so we can use this as starting a business, for example. You know, a lot of businesses fail, of course. And I think a lot of people have the expectations that they go into something thinking, well, I really hope this works. I hope this works. I go into it thinking, probably isn't going to work the way I think it is, but I'm going to start with what I've got. I'm going to start to build it slowly. And whatever obstacles come up, and they will, I'll deal with them at that time. And that's the only way you can approach it, I think, is like just hacking away at the problem, not focusing on the problem and just getting caught up in all of that, because then the problem just stays a problem, but being focused on what the solution could be, you know, identifying that problem, finding the solution and what you think is the solution. And then you try something and realize, oh, that didn't actually work out the way I thought it would be. So you try something again, kind of like what Edison did with 10,000 light bulbs. I don't know if I would have that resilience to go through that, But the question, though, that I think is, I've always asked myself is, why didn't he just stop when he hit 3,000 or 5,000? And did he actually get to a point where he failed so much he actually wanted to give up? I'm sure he must have, because we see the result. We see the goal was achieved, or like somebody just finished their, I don't know, first triathlon or something, or they won a medal, and we look at that as a great achievement, but we don't see the journey that it took to get there was probably littered with a lot of mistakes, things that were, there were moments on that person's journey where they were ready to give up and throw it in, but they just went a little further. They were willing to fail just a little more, just one more time, because they knew that if they could just go one more step ahead, maybe that would be the step that would change everything. And that's the approach to, I think I had when I wrote the book, and still my approach to these things is, what if I could just go, if I could just do this for one more day, and like one more step, one more day, I'm just going to put in one more hour. Because you're moving towards something, and the moment you decide that you don't want to do that anymore, well, now you're back to, I guess you can go back to zero and try something new. And I think this is what happens to a lot of people, is they get caught up in maybe shiny object syndrome, where they've been doing this thing for so long, not working, I'm going to go try something different. And then they're back to ground zero, and they start working on something new, and that doesn't work out. And then they try something else and try something else. And they start reaching for those shiny objects, which are very tempting, but they're also set up to knock us down. So,
yeah, it's funny how that happens, because some people say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Mm-hmm. And so, why would we not say that Thomas Edison was insane? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have to be insane 10,000 times. Mm-hmm. Come on. But then also notice that a lot of people that are successful in those kind of ways, if they were to come about now, they'll be deemed someone that was suffering from a mental illness for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he would have to get labeled. If he was like, yeah, man, I'm trying to do this light bulb, I'm like, man, why are you in there for all that time, these hours and years? And come on, can give up, or you need to take some medication or things of that sort. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but then also notice that a lot of people that were deemed geniuses from back then, like great scientists and stuff like that, had something about them that just wasn't right. Suffered from Asperger's, autism, and things of that sort. So it's kind of interesting, like hearing that, because hearing you talk say that, I've learned within like the personal development community, there's always a counteract to what you're saying. Because say if I'm doing something and I'm not successful at it, and something new comes about that I can be, oh, this is just a revelation. You know what I'm saying? But what is telling me that I should stay with what I'm doing now or do something new that I think will be better for me? And I think that all boils down to people finding out what's authentic to them, like what they really want to do, and doing the self-discovery, which I've noticed that a lot of people don't do. It's like bouncing from thing to thing to thing and not finding what they're passionate about. It's more so success, shiny objects, money. And it's just crazy because I've been in this personal development space forever. And it's like success is still based off of income, money, what you have, and things like that. It's if you want to be like this guy, buy these books or buy this program, et cetera. He has a Lamborghini, but then it's like behind closed doors, this guy is sick. You know what I mean? Like he has some real issues that he's dealing with. He's lonely and all of these other things. Like this, he has quadrants of his life that he's ignoring just so he can be monetarily successful.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. Yeah, because I used to think the same thing too. I'll get there after I have these things, or I'll feel like I made it after I've got this much money or I've got this status. And the thing is, the goalpost continues to move forward. You never actually get there because even when you do, now you're looking for the next thing, which is always 10 feet in front of you. So you're always chasing the rabbit. You're always going for more, going for more. When in fact, you may be totally satisfied with what you have right now. It doesn't mean you have to stay there. But I think, in not to get into the whole concept of what happiness is, but I think we're always pursuing that, like a life of fulfillment that is, we never have it because it's always 10 miles down the road. I think that's something important to recognize as well, because like you said, the guy who is like somebody who appears to have everything monetarily, well, we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes when the camera's off and when they're alone. And yes, they have all the stuff, but that's not all the, that's not everything. And it's hard for, I think, if you don't have that stuff, it's hard to understand that unless you actually do get it and realize, wow, it wasn't all about this. Something that Jim Carrey had said, he said this multiple times in his like interviews, he's, I used to think it was all about the money until I actually had it. And then he goes, I realized it wasn't. When he goes, I wish, I think he said, every I wish everybody could become really wealthy so that they would realize that. So that was an interesting insight. But still, at the end of the day, it still doesn't change the fact that we're always going to be pursuing something, I think. And I say it myself all the time. Yeah, I think once I get my business to 10 million a year, then I would have, then I can stop putting in so many hours and we can have that vacation we've always wanted. And I realize, well, maybe, you know, I won't be here in 5 years or 10 years or next year. So let's take that vacation today. We'll figure it out later. And I'm still going to just keep grinding and working on my business and focusing on like what the goal is. And because with a goal, we go with goals as well. It's like the goalpost. They move all the time. You get there and then you want something else. You get there, you want something else. We're not I think we're just, we are designed to progress. Like progress is like moving forward.
Especially if you have an ambitious mind. But then I feel like a lot of people aren't designed to progress. A lot of people are just okay with just being standard, and that's okay. Because I'm such an ambitious person where I didn't understand how people could not want to progress or do things better or keep pushing, but then also learn that they are comfortable with where they're at, or they have fear, or whatever the case may be. Because if I told somebody, hey, I'm gonna move to the Middle East and I'm gonna go out there and teach English, they're gonna come up with all of these reasons on why I should not do it and think about ways to stop me. Like when I was 19, I left LA and moved to Atlanta. And my friends were like, that is the craziest thing. Why are you doing that? You're gonna be struggling. And I was, but I just kept it going. And it kind of like changed my mindset about life and willpower because I'm a young kid. in a city where, 19 years old in a city where, I don't have any family members. I have to look out for myself. It's just me. My parents are 2,000 miles away across the country. You know what I mean? I feel like that does something to you when you put yourself in that kind of position.
Yeah. And I'm curious, was there a point on that journey where you decided you're going to move back and just not pursue this? You're going to go back home and because you realized maybe it's not working out. I'm really scared. I don't just, I've had enough. Was there a point where you're going to ready to throw it in?
No. The only reason why I moved back was due to the recession. Yeah, that was like the only time. If that wasn't the case, I probably would have still been out there to this day. Yeah, but then it was like after school was over with, my friends moved back home because of the recession, and I didn't have anybody. I was pretty much lonely, no family, no friends I could rely on, and the economy sucked bad. So I was just like, I'm just moved back to California. If I was thriving, I probably would have stayed out there. But yeah, because California had a lot more resources than Georgia during that time. But yeah, I don't think I had one instance where I was just like calling my parents, even contemplating coming back. I can't really even think about that because I went there for school. I had to go. I was on my own, and number one, I was out of my parents' house, which was one of the most fabulous things I could have done for myself, just due to the climate of the home that I was raised in. And I was just like, nah, I have to make this happen. I have to make this work. And it even went down to me eating like a fish dinner one time a day. Like I was eating one time a day, and that was a fish dinner I would buy around the corner for $10. I was surviving off of no money. So it was just crazy, like the way I was operating and the suffering I was going through, but it ended up working out. If it wasn't for me going out there, I wouldn't be where I am today at all whatsoever. So it was just like maybe it was something more than me pushing me to be there and to stay there. Yeah.
Great thing about that is that you every day you're exposing yourself to and I'm to risk, or you're exposing yourself to the reality that I've got my dinner today, but I may not have it tomorrow. Like it's not where you can predict that you'll have three meals a day and you'll have money in your pocket and those things. And it's a hard thing to go through at the time, but and I've been through that myself. But years later, I looked back and I was like, wow, I'm glad I really stuck that out. I'm glad I didn't go back like they all said I would. And because if you can look at your life now and go, wow, like I am where I am because I went through, and I was willing to go through that period of my life there where I was, yeah, separated from family and friends and I was on my own, but I persevered, pushed through it. And now here we are. So, yeah, I think that's a great journey to be on, I think.
And I feel like that's probably why I constantly challenge myself to do things is because moving to Atlanta was a big deal back then. Well, 'cause I look at 19-year-olds now and I'm just like, oh God, I know you probably would be able to. I look at them like it's little babies to me at my age. And to see, think about a 19-year-old just flying to going to Atlanta and saying, I'm gonna live here now. It's just like amazing. I'm looking at 20-year-olds. I'm like, man, what I was doing at your age, man, you probably wouldn't even scratch the surface of how I was moving. But yeah, and I, like from that, I'm just like, I always need to challenge myself. I always want to because out of challenging myself constantly, I know that it'll make me better in some kind of way. And I often tell people like, and I often challenge people just to challenge them to be better, challenge them to do different things so they could become the best version of themselves and the people that they want. And I even wrote a book, and it took me a long time to actually do it until I met an author that wrote a book and he encouraged me. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm gonna sit here and make this happen. And it kind of like got me where it was just like, wow, people are contacting me saying it changed their life. They'll reference it back and forth and things of that nature. And I'm just like, what if I did not have the courage or the wherewithal to start this so I can change other people's lives? Now I feel like if I don't do certain things, then I'm just a selfish person. Man, you can really help people if you were to perform, but your fear or whatever is holding you back from changing people's lives and putting good things out there in the world. And so when I think about it from that perspective, or think about something that can like really motivate you to actually do it, like your children or your family or something of that sort, I feel like when you take it outside of yourself, it really pushes you to do better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I think something you mentioned there about having somebody who had already done that thing that you want to do, like having those call them role models, or for me, like I've always been into learning from other high performers, or whether it was Tony Robbins or somebody, like not people that I always knew personally, but
Right.
just putting myself in a situation where I was able to learn from them, whether it's a could be a book, could be nowadays we have all kinds of information, so we can choose who we want to listen to, I think. And but the thing is, yeah, when we're going through those hard times, and we're maybe the people that are, and they could be our friends or family are trying to hold us back, not because maybe not because they don't want us to move forward, but there could be some fear there on their end that, well, what if they really make it, and then I never see this person again, when I'm left back here by myself, and with like in the same my old situation. So I've had that too, where people would like tell me, you're kind of crazy to do this thing, and it's not going to work out. And I think a lot of people, like, you listen to that, you're going to feed into it, and then you're going to find reasons why, no, yeah, you're right, I shouldn't do this thing, what was I thinking, right? And like I said, then they don't move to the other side of the country. They don't write that book. They don't take up that new hobby or whatever it may be. But we have to find the people that have already done those things and are still doing them, and just tap into that energy, tap into that power. So,
Yep, and create those habits.
yeah.
Yep. Wow.
And I think it's yeah. I think there's a lot of truth to you're the. You become everything, like your environment has a lot to do with it. And a lot of people are born in like really, their environments are horrible. Maybe they have horrible conditions, could be at family, at school, but if they have that goal for themselves, that vision, and they can just find one person that can help to pull them forward, whether that's a mentor or a coach or somebody, it could be a voice in the radio, I don't know, but they really want it, and they start paying attention to that voice instead of all of the other voices, and then the voices in your head. You can gain enough momentum and a little bit of courage just to pull yourself out of there and make the big jump, right? So,
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, Scott, where can people find you?
well, if they want, they can go to scottallenpublishing.com or scottallenbooks.com. We have a Shopify store set up there for selling things directly. And they can always go to Amazon. They have a lot of products there. And if you plug in Scott Allen, author of books, you'll probably find a lot of the books on there. And we're building out the training platform this year, and that should be ready within a few months. So, but yeah, I love to connect with people, love to share the message. So, anybody wants to connect, you can also reach out to me at scottallen@scottallenpublishing.com.
Okay, are you on any social medias or anything like that?
Sure, yes, Instagram and LinkedIn and pretty much all of them. Still building my following on there, I think, but for the most part, like LinkedIn, Instagram seems to be the stronger social media platforms, and of course Facebook. I mean, I think almost everybody's on there. So, yeah, but yeah, and I usually post 2 to 4 times a day on those platforms as well, and doing a lot of podcast interviews these days as well. So if you want to look up other, and of course they can find this episode as well. And I would like to do a lot more of these, because one of my reasons, by the way, for getting onto interviews with people is to not to sell books or sell things. I mean, that's all good and everything, but it's really just to take everything that I've created and bring it online so that I can teach the things that I've been talking about and writing about for a long time. I think when you learn something, just holding on to it doesn't have any value. You really have to teach it to the world and just show people, like, and be, I think, open to, this is how I did it. I did fail at it as well, and I had those failures, and here's what I learned. And I'm not trying to teach people how not to fail, but just how to be okay with it. I think there's a lot of fear around pushing forward, because there's fear of the unknown, fear of the uncertainty. And I just love uncertainty. I just thrive in it. Because again, once you go through something, you're going to become something greater on the other end, and that's just something I just want people to recognize, you know. So.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. A
Yeah.
lot of sense. Well, Scott, thank you so much for being a part of the Militant Grind podcast and sharing your wisdom. I'm definitely looking forward to connecting with you in the future, and I hope you have a great rest of your day, sir.
Amazing. Well, thanks for having me on the show. It's been a blast.
You're welcome.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.